Well, you know, when, as he goes on with his interviews and his conversations, I also have a degree of sympathy or empathy, I guess I should say, for him, because it does seem like he's slipping. I just can't imagine any sensible person, and he's been a very good businessman in his life, not only making those statements but continuing to make them. I mean, he just sticks his foot further and further and further into the trap he built for himself. It's really kind of sad when you think about it.
And this is George Peck, man, and I don't know that either of you had the pleasure I did of living in Los Angeles for 18 years and having a look at his ads in the LA Times. The guy, you know, the ads are always the same. It looks like they cost about 99 cents to produce. And it was either for his, you know, apartment buildings or some charity that he was supposedly, you know, helping out. In some cases, they weren't even, you know, taking place. But he always bought the ads himself.
Luke Visconti from Diversity, Inc. How do you gauge corporate America's progress on multicultural understanding?
You know, it really depends on the corporation. There's some corporations who have really taken this on as a mission, and there are other corporations that are oblivious. And it's kind of interesting. If you add up women, black people, Latinos, Asians, if you add them together, and it's double counting women, it's 88% of our workforce. Now, you add in LGBT people and people with disabilities, you'd have to be foolish not to have a focus on this right now. But there are a lot of oblivious companies. And I want to make a point here, if you're going to be working for someone, really take, and this is important to you, really take a look at what they're doing.
And you can tell, you know, many of the numbers, their workforce, their management, their board, there
well,
are hard
you
numbers
can
you can look
lot.
At.
It's kind of like Donald Sterling. If you look into him and you look into his past, you could see patterns, and there's patterns of behavior. I mean, Donald Sterling's been a misogynist creep for many, many years.
Well, the whole Elgin Baylor thing. You remember the Elgin Baylor thing, too? I mean, there was a clue.
Absolutely. There's always clues. So if you go to somebody's website, go to a company's website, and you see nothing about diversity, you see nothing about things that are important to you, take a look at their philanthropy. Take a look at where they're donating money to. If it's unfocused, you see nothing that's important to you, believe them. They're telling you who they are. Believe them. It's very simple.
Luke Visconti from Diversity, Inc. I guess it's been called sensitivity training. It still gets a bad rap sometimes in the corporate world, like an episode of The Office, the TV comedy. How's the human resources industry adjusting and trying to be more effective here in 2014?
Well, I want to address the thing of sensitivity training first. Shouldn't it be called competency training? I mean, really? If you're calling it sensitivity training, then you're kind of diminishing the right of somebody to be in the workplace without being offended. It's the same kind of thing I hear people talking about, and let's be clear here, white men talking about political correctness. It's usually, to me, an indication of somebody who's finally woken up that they can no longer insult people without any repercussions. And that first thing of, oh, you're asking me to be politically correct, it's usually that first twinge of, uh-oh, I'm going to get my head handed to me if I keep, telling these jokes. And I'm feeling sensitive about that all of a sudden. So when you think about sensitivity training, it's really competency training. And if you need it, take it.
Reality training?
Reality training is exactly right.
Okay.
In terms of HR departments, again, there's good ones and there's bad ones. And I always talk, when I talk to CEOs, I make the point that HR departments and law departments are there to either help you do what you want to do or help you do not anything that you don't want to do. And so CEOs can make the case here, and they're the ones who are really responsible for their HR departments. And if the goal is to be a diversified company with taking the talent, the best talent from every group that's out there, to make sure that you have the best talent working for you to increase that innovation, then your HR department, if the person running it's not working out for you, you make a change, don't you? And if you like the way it's working out, you keep things the way they are, which goes back to if you're going to work for somebody or do business with somebody, do a little investigating, really look through the website, and see if they reflect your values.
Luke Visconti, who also writes the column Ask the White Guy, I think it's kind of disarming. It sort of helps maybe folks who are in management positions to sort of ask some honest questions. how's the dialogue? Are we afraid to dive into these issues, or maybe that's part of the problem?
Well, I think it's very interesting that, and this is now, when you think about it, it's 6-7 years that we've had Barack Obama on the national stage, and it really caused a wave of white supremacist and neo-Nazi agitation, in my opinion, whipped up by the Koch brothers, who have a political agenda on their hands. And that has exacerbated certain elements of discussion in the workplace and that are painful. That said, we're working through it, and I think that savvy CEOs are really forcing the dialogue so that we can get these issues on the table and that people can understand the values of the organization and act accordingly.